Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. And I want to thank Robert, who became our latest Patreon supporter at the level of the rookie level, which is $2 or more per month. And you can support the show for as little as $2 per month. Just go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Of course, if you'd rather send along a one-time donation, you can do that at support.greatdetectives.net, through Zelle to box13 at greatdetectives.net, or by mail to Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date, October the 30th, 1949. And this one is The DeMarco Affair.
Buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan and this week's story, The DeMarco Affair.
It was well after the dinner hour at the Tambourine. A couple of dock workers lingered at the bar, sipping arak. I was at the side table with the evening paper when the phone opened up in my office. As I went back, I made a note to close up early if business didn't pick up. It was a good night for some rest. Anyhow, that's what I thought. Hello, Tambourine.
Monsieur Jordan?
Yeah, speaking.
This is Henri DeMarco.
Oh, what can I do for you, Mr. DeMarco?
It is about the photographic postcards of the Tambourine which you ordered from me. They are now ready.
Oh, well, thanks for calling.
You will come and get them now?
Oh, no special rush, Mr. DeMarco. I still got a few on hand.
Monsieur Jordan?
Yeah?
Could you possibly come to my shop and pick them up right away?
You mean tonight?
Yes, tonight.
Well, I suppose I could if it's necessary.
Then I will expect you, Monsieur Jordan. I will expect you very shortly.
The click on the line told me he'd suddenly hung up. Well, maybe he just needed the money real quick, something like that. DeMarco had done my work for the past couple of years. Mail home picture postcards of the Tambourine that I kept up front for the tourists. And we'd come to know each other pretty well. So I decided I'd better drive over and see him. It took me into one of the sections of Cairo where the poorer Europeans lived. I parked under a dim street lamp and walked down a dark passageway to his little photographic shop where I got my first surprise. The lights were out and the front door was locked. So I moved around, tried the back door. It was locked, too. And that's when I heard a sharp chopping sound from inside. Getting to a low window, I peered in and made out the shadow of a man swinging away with an axe, hacking DeMarco's shop to pieces. I gave the window a couple of shoves. It slid up, and I went in to see what I could do about it. He whirled as he saw me, lunged and swung down with a hatchet. I ducked and then piled in, grabbing for his arms. He twisted half around, and I hung on, staying in close. He tried again. I half-blocked his swing, but it landed flat behind my left ear, and I went down. Through the haze that followed, I heard him scramble out the window, and by the time I could pull myself to my feet, he was gone. I lost no time cutting on a light and getting to the phone at the front of the shop and calling Captain Sam Sabaya, Cairo Police. In another 15 minutes, he was there, and I was briefing him on all that had happened.
In other words, Jordan, it is the usual story.
Well, that's the way it happens, Sam.
You receive a phone call, you come, and as always, you are in the center of a violent brawl about which you can explain nothing. Always it is the same.
All right, then maybe you can explain where DeMarco is right now. He's supposed to wait for me here.
Yes, you have told me. Now, the man whom you encountered here, please describe him.
I can't. It was pitch dark.
Oh, yes, of course, of
Look,
course.
Do you want me to report these things or not?
Jordan, Jordan, let us have no more of this. I regret my show of impatience. It is only that I have had other matters on my mind.
Don't blame me for that.
Indeed, I do not. I will explain only that a recent and important duty has been to watch certain members of a criminal ring here in Cairo. Now, in spite of all my efforts, they have disappeared one by one. Perhaps even from Egypt.
Your superiors aren't going to like that, huh?
As you say, I have been under extreme pressure. But let us get on with this.
Yeah. That guy didn't miss much.
As you say, a most thorough job. Cameras, lighting equipment, projectors, all destroyed. Strange indeed.
What's in there, Sam?
It is a photographic darkroom. The intruder did not touch it.
Maybe he just never got around to it.
Perhaps. It will be necessary now to examine the shop thoroughly.
What about DeMarco?
After phoning his home, I will put out a call for him through missing persons.
Oh, yeah. You, through with me?
If you like. Would you like a guard to protect you back to your tambourine?
No, thanks, Sam.
That is where you are going, is it not?
Well, you never know, Sam. You never know. I figured Sam knew where I was going, but he nodded a dismissal. I went back up the dark passageway and along the street to where my car was parked. A figure was standing on the street side of the car, and at first I didn't see him. When I went around to get in, he shoved his heavy frame between me and the door. He had a full, crooked mustache, and he needed a shave.
Yassalam alaikum, Jordan. Or is that not the way a greeting is given in Arabic?
Yeah, between friends.
Then we are friends, Jordan.
Step aside. You're blocking my way.
How is that a way to talk to a
aside,
friend?
Aside, I said.
You are too hasty, Jordan.
Figured there'd be a gun. Goes with your face.
Oh, a face you recognize?
Sure. You go crass. Cairo bum. Crumbs like you have a way of sticking in memory. All right, what do you want?
A chance to be of service to you. I am concerned with your safety.
Well, if you're losing any sleep over it, try a pill.
Your actions these past few hours cause me grief, Jordan. You were in the shop of Andre DeMarco. It is not safe at this hour.
Oh, are you that hatchet man?
Jordan, you called the police to the shop of Andre DeMarco. That perhaps was your duty as a citizen. But to persist in showing interest in DeMarco is not your duty. Nor is it wise for your safety.
I suppose you can explain that.
What I say is quite clear. Andre DeMarco is not your concern. Andre DeMarco's affairs are not your concern.
What if I want to make him my concern?
The gun barrel presses your stomach. A trigger may easily be squeezed.
You ever tried sensing?
Jordan, I am not talking to hear myself speak. I am a patient man, but be certain you do not try my patience. Go back to your bed and forget the happenings of this evening. Keep out of the DeMarco affair. You may live to wish that you had. Yassalam alaikum, friend.
Hugo Crass backed away, keeping the gun level, and dropped quietly into the shadows. I got in the car and drove away fast. Crass's advice was all I needed, only I didn't take it. I soon found DeMarco's home, a modest, flat-roofed sandstone house on the Sharia Ramad. At my knock, the door opened a little, and the pretty face of an Egyptian woman peered anxiously out.
Who is it, please?
The name is Jordan.
Oh?
It's about Mr. DeMarco.
You are the Mr. Jordan who runs the cafe?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, please, enter the house.
Oh, thank you.
I am the wife of Mr. DeMarco. Can you tell me where he is, Mr. Jordan?
I was hoping you could tell me. You see,
Oh, Mr. Jordan, permit me to introduce Roberto Aleman. He is the Andorian consul.
A pleasure, Senor Jordan.
Andorian consul, Mr. Aleman?
Yes, so few people know of my country. It is the small country between France and Spain. You may find it on any map of Europe.
Oh, yes, of course.
Senor Jordan, did you not know that DeMarco is Andorian? French extraction, but nevertheless, Andorian.
No, I didn't know.
Please, feel free to speak before Mr. Aleman. He and my husband are close friends.
Friends? As are all Andorians in Cairo. You see, there are so few of us. That is why we have become closely knit.
Mr. Aliman came tonight in answer to my call. I have been so worried about my husband. And when the captain of the police called a moment ago...
Well, then you know what happened at your husband's shop.
Only that it was smashed. And now my husband is not to be found.
You say you were at the shop, senor?
Yeah, that's right. He called me about an hour ago, asking me to come over and pick up some photographic work he'd done for me.
At such a late hour?
Yeah, I wondered about that, too. But he seemed urgent.
But you have not seen him?
No, he was gone. Any idea what it's all about, Mrs. DeMarco?
There is so much that I do not understand. For many days, my husband has lived under a great strain, about which he would tell me nothing.
Would he have any enemies?
Oh, Mr. Jordan, my husband is a kind man, devoted only to me, his wife, and to his humble business. But enemies? No.
Well, we've got to find him, Mrs. DeMarco. I'll do what I can.
I am most grateful.
I turned to go, but before I reached the door, the loud screech of tires on the street sent us racing to the window. Just in time to see a black sedan pull quickly to the curb, a back door fly open, and a figure sprawl out on the sidewalk. In another second, the car was gone. And even from where we stood, we could see what it had left behind. It was the missing photographer, Henri DeMarco.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. First thing in the morning, any time during the day, as a mealtime appetizer.
It's Del Monte tomato juice for real satisfaction.
Yes, first thing in the morning, any time during the day, or as a mealtime appetizer, a chilled glass of Del Monte tomato juice really hits the spot. It has just the right tang, all the freshness and sunny flavor you'd expect from Del Monte.
Del Monte tomato juice is fresh tasting.
Yes, indeed, all the rich flavor of fully ripened tomatoes.
Del Monte tomato juice is natural tasting.
Close quality control by Del Monte assures you of true, natural flavor.
Del Monte tomato juice is refreshing.
That's right, real tomato flavor that makes you ask for more.
Fresh tasting, natural tasting, and refreshing.
That's Del Monte tomato juice. Look for the green can with the familiar Del Monte red shield. Keep several cans in the refrigerator. You'll find they come in mighty handy. And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The DeMarco Affair.
Well, one look at Henri DeMarco told us he'd taken a beating he'd long remembered. Between the three of us, we got him into the house. There, we found that, aside from plenty of bumps and bruises, he wasn't in too bad a shape. Some cold water and plenty of smelling salts finally brought him around. Then we waited for his story, but it never came. To every question, he only shook his head, telling us to forget it. Aliman and I finally gave it up and left. I was still trying to figure it out the next morning when Sam joined me for coffee.
Jordan, I am convinced that what we learn of this affair will not come from DeMarco.
Oh, you saw him already this morning, Sam?
For quite some time.
You get up early.
There is a saying of my people, Jordan. It is dangerous to health for the sun to rise above a sleeping head.
Who knows what's dangerous? Maybe DeMarco thinks it's dangerous to talk.
But he says not even that. He refuses to press charges. He will not say who was involved. He says only that it is a closed affair.
Find anything in his shop after I left last night?
Nothing that leads us anywhere. The destruction of his photographic equipment is puzzling, but not so much as his silence.
Yeah.
Jordan, you still say that DeMarco told you nothing on the phone last night to indicate that he was in danger?
Didn't have to, Sam. It was in his voice.
Then obviously what transpired from that time until he was thrown from the car at his house was enough to seal his lips.
Wonder if he thinks we'll give it up this easy.
Well, there is little we can do until DeMarco sees fit to cooperate.
Well, there's still Hugo Kras.
Yes, I shall not forget this man who threatened you, Jordan, this Hugo Kras. I will have my men apprehend him as soon as possible. Perhaps he can shed some light on this affair.
Sam thanked me for the coffee and went out. Just as his limousine pulled away, the tambourine phone started ringing. I took the call. Hello, tambourine.
Ya salam alaikum, Jordan.
Oh, not again.
Seem pleased to speak to a
You better crawl back into your hole, Crass. The police will be looking for you soon.
Oh, pity, Jordan, that you have told them about me.
Yeah, well, I'm bad on keeping secrets.
Then it is apparent, Mr. Jordan, that I must find a way to keep secrets.
You got a plan?
Oh, of course I have, Jordan. And you will not like it.
That was all it took to send me right across town to DeMarco's shop to start digging for answers. It was open this time, and DeMarco was there, puttering around in back. He'd cleared away most of the wreckage. I saw a lot of brand new stuff out of boxes from the Cairo Photo Supply Company. Cameras, lights, and everything. DeMarco came hurrying up.
Oh, Monsieur Jordan, it is good to see you again.
Well, are you feeling by now, Mr. DeMarco?
As well as can be expected, thank you. You have come, of course, for your tambourine postcards. I will get them.
There's no hurry about that.
It will take but a moment. I must apologize for the inconvenience I caused you last night.
Oh, think nothing of it. I see you got some new equipment.
A few items, the tools of my trade, Monsieur Jordan. Without them, I could not be in business.
Oh, naturally. Hey, those cameras must be pretty expensive.
A bit costly. Here you are, Monsieur Jordan.
Oh, thanks. I didn't know you were that well fixed.
I beg pardon?
Having to buy all that stuff at once, it'd be rough on anybody's pocketbook.
Oh, that? Well, there is the installment plan.
Oh, sure, yeah. Installments, of course.
The cards, Monsieur Jordan, I made them up just as they were the last time. I trust they are satisfactory.
Oh, I'm sure they are. And here's a check to cover the job.
So kind of you. But I would have sent a bill.
Mr. DeMarco, when you called last night, I got a hunch you needed help.
I again must apologize.
I came hoping I could give it. I still think I was right. Now, look, when guys start smashing things, roughing people up...
Monsieur Jordan?
Yeah?
Is there anything else I can get for you now?
No, thanks. I'll be going. I opened the door and looked back, but DeMarco had already turned to his work. So I decided to talk to DeMarco's friend, Roberto Alleman. I found a phone book, got the address, went to a modern office building near Solomon Pasha Square, up to the fifth floor, and in a door labeled Andorian Consulate. When Alleman saw who it was, he pushed aside some passports and a visa stamp, the usual stuff on a consul's desk, and stood up to greet me.
Señor Jordan, I rather expected you. Please sit down.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Alleman.
I presume you have come to me regarding our mutual friend.
Yeah, that's right. I just saw him in his shop.
Oh, so he's already back at work. Well, perhaps it is best. Were you able to learn anything from him?
No, not a thing.
Distressing. His silence is bewildering to all of us. I feel especially sorry for his devoted wife.
DeMarco's scared, Mr. Alleman. Something's hanging over him. Somehow we've got to find out what it is.
I agree. Have you anything to suggest, Señor?
Well, it might not mean much, but we could try something.
Yes?
DeMarco has a complete layout of brand new photo equipment in his shop. It was delivered today.
So soon, Señor Jordan?
Yeah, surprised me, too. Now, look, as his consul, maybe you could check something. DeMarco told me he bought the equipment on the installment plan.
Why, that is possible. He's a man of small means.
Well, supposing you call the place where he bought the equipment, just to make sure.
A very wise move, Señor. We must explore every possibility.
Yeah, it's the, Cairo Photo Supplies. I wrote the number down here.
Good. One moment, please. Hello? Roberto Aleman of the Andorian Consulate speaking. I would like some information regarding a recent purchase by an Andorian national at your establishment. Confidential, please. His name is Henri DeMarco. Would you tell me on what terms? I see. No. That is all. Thank you very much. Well, Señor Jordan, I fear that we have caught our good friend in a bit of a falsehood.
Yeah?
DeMarco did buy the equipment, but not on the installment plan. He paid straight cash.
I thanked Alleman and left. Well, I knew going to DeMarco again wouldn't help. Anyhow, the dinner hour was coming up, so I went back to the tambourine. I was still mulling it over that night after the help had knocked off, and I was alone. Before locking up, I was behind the bar, cleaning out the cash register, facing the back mirror. That's when I saw the front door slowly open. In stepped a man with a crooked mustache. It was Hugo Crass, and he still held the gun.
You are a poor one for taking advice, Jordan. You are a poor one for minding your own business.
I had dived behind the counter, and the bullets plowed into some of my best whiskey and shattered my mirror. But I had other things to think about. I grabbed my gun from under the counter and came up firing. My shots were wild, but they sent Crass scrambling to the door. I fired again. Crass half spun around, but kept moving. I got around from behind the bar, made it to the door, and out of the street, just in time to see a car race off and disappear into the night.
Police headquarters, Sabaya speaking.
Sam, thought you said you were going to pick up Hugo Crass.
Calm yourself, Jordan. He will be found.
And what happens in the meantime? I'm a sitting duck.
Please explain what you are talking about.
I'll tell you what I'm talking about. He's been throwing shots around my tambourine.
Indeed, Jordan.
Are you going to hunt him up now, or aren't you?
Jordan, I will now ask you something. Why did you not tell me everything about this man, Henri DeMarco? Do you not think that I can learn things for myself?
What are you talking about? I haven't held anything back from you.
So, then did you tell me that DeMarco has been living in Egypt illegally for the past 5 years without credentials or passport?
Well,
did you tell me that he is still wanted by the Andorian authorities for tax evasion in his own country and that his name is not really DeMarco at all? Well, Jordan?
I didn't know, Sam.
I am sure that you did not. Now, before you again make demands of the police, remember that you, too, have a responsibility to us.
Yeah, sure, I'll remember.
Is that quite everything now, Jordan?
Yes, Sam. Everything. And I meant just that. All I had to do now was make sure. I pocketed a bunch of keys and a flashlight. Then I stepped on the gas across the Cairo night to the office building off Solomon Pasha Square. The elevator had stopped running, so I took the stairs to the fifth floor. I paused on the last step. The dimly lit hall was deserted, and I got to the door that said Andorian Consulate and began with the keys. Trying them one by one. Sure, it had to be the last one on the ring, but it did the trick, and I was inside the dark office. I had even better luck with the file drawer. It gave me part of what I wanted. Passports, a visa stamp, a lot of regulation-sized photos. Some attached to the passports, some not. I closed it and moved to the desk. That's when I heard the key in the door. I cut the flashlight, but there was no place to go, so I stood there as the door opened and he found the switch. His hand was in his right coat pocket and he left it there, not moving.
Senor Jordan.
Yeah, hello, Alleman.
I ask you the meaning of this.
Sure you do. You really want me to tell you?
Do you quite realize the penalty for breaking into the office of a foreign government? Do you realize, Senor?
Cut out the act, Alleman. He just finished his last week's racing sheet.
Have you quite lost your mind?
No, not anymore. You're no consul at all, are you?
How dare you, Senor Jordan? I demand that you leave at once.
If you were the Andorian consul, you'd have known DeMarco was wanted by your government. You'd have known he was an illegal entrant into Egypt.
Are you presuming to tell me what I know?
Well, the fact is, I think you did know about DeMarco. I think you were holding what you knew over his head to make him work for you.
Doing what?
Pictures for phony passports. You convince the few Andorians in Cairo that you're their consul, they turn over their passports to you. Then you sell those passports to anybody who'll pay the price to get out of Egypt. After you force DeMarco to alter the passport photos just enough to resemble the buyer.
Do you think anyone will believe your fantastic theory?
Well, all Captain Sabaya has to do is wire the capital of Andorra. Shall we call him, Alleman?
Come no closer, Jordan.
I've been watching him. As his hand came out of his pocket with a gun, I kicked the open door. It slammed into his hand, the gun dropped to the floor, and he grabbed for it. My foot came down on his wrist, and my knee caught his jaw. Alleman rolled away, and I picked up the gun, and that was that.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. Catsup experts say the finer the vinegar, the better the catsup flavor.
And that's one big reason why Del Monte Catsup has such marvelous flavor. Del Monte Catsup is made with pineapple vinegar.
Pineapple vinegar is a superlative vinegar. Only Del Monte makes it. Only Del Monte has it. But it isn't that you taste the vinegar. It's what it does for the other ingredients that is so important. The special way it coaxes out all the rich tomato flavor in catsup. Yes, pineapple vinegar is one of the big reasons why Del Monte catsup is the liveliest, snappiest, best-tasting catsup you ever tried.
I know. That rich tomato flavor really perks up everyday foods. You just can't beat Del Monte's rich tomato goodness on meatloaf.
Or on hash or chops or hamburgers. On any food that calls for catsup. Mm-mm. You'll find that appetizing Del Monte catsup flavor makes you want to come back for more.
Try Del Monte catsup soon. For all its goodness, it costs less than many other quality brands.
Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, all I had to do was call Sam and then hold Roberto Alleman there in his office till Sam and his men got there. On the way down to headquarters, Sam told me that he'd picked up Hugo Crass less than an hour before, and he'd confessed to working for Alleman. After putting Alleman in a cell next to Crass, Sam sent for Henri DeMarco, and we waited in the office till a man brought him in.
Mr. DeMarco, you have been told that Roberto Alleman is under arrest.
I have, Captain Sabaya. And I am now willing to confess everything.
You should have told us from the beginning, DeMarco.
You are right, Mr. Jordan. I know that your efforts were only in my behalf.
Yes, yes. Now, your statement. You knew then that Alleman was not a consul at all.
At first, I did not know. At first, we all believed him. Why should we not?
Go on.
I respected his station. So when he brought certain photographs to my shop with instructions as to what I should do with them, I did as he said. But when I began to realize what was happening, I went to him.
And then came the threat.
Yes. He said that he would expose me. Please, I have lived respectably in your city. I married a good woman of your people. For her sake...
But you continue to do what he said.
For a time. Finally, I would have no more of it. I am not a criminal. And I told Alleman that.
Just before you called me last night?
I knew what he would do to me, Monsieur Jordan. I was frantic for help.
Sure. But before I got there, Alleman had his men pick you up and leave a guy to smash the place. After slapping you around, they planned to dump you back at your shop.
Until they saw the police there. After they got my promise of silence, they gave me money to buy new cameras and equipment so that I might continue in business as before and do their bidding. Captain, had I known what I do now of Alleman...
Many were fooled by him for a time. Were we not, Jordan?
I figure Andorra doesn't even have a consulate in Cairo.
Quite true. One can get away with many things in Cairo for a time.
Sure had a slick racket.
Mr. DeMarco, acting as you did under coercion, I feel sure that no charges will be preferred against you. However, regarding the charges of your own government...
Captain Sabaya, I am willing and ready to return to Andorra and right my wrong as best I can.
You will please step outside the office and wait there.
As you wish.
Thanks for going easy with him, sir.
Little does DeMarco know how much he has helped.
Huh?
This problem of certain criminals who have been mysteriously escaping from Egypt, we know now how they did it, with fake passports issued by Roberto Alleman.
Then the Egyptian government shouldn't be sore at DeMarco now that it's cleaned up.
No, I should think not. After DeMarco has paid his debt in Andorra, my country should have no objection to his returning here and taking up his business once again.
Can I count on that?
I am counting on it. In fact, Henri DeMarco has promised on his return to take some family photographs of me and my wife and four children.
For the finest in tomato flavor, enjoy the whole family of Del Monte tomato products.
Del Monte catsup and chili sauce.
Del Monte tomato sauce and canned tomatoes.
And Del Monte tomato juice.
Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Larry Roman and Gomer Kuhl, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jane Avello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is Black Ball. The best liked brand of peaches in the whole wide world. That's Del Monte peaches. Sliced or halved, they're truly delicious. Del Monte peaches. And now before we sign off, we just want to remind you this year, more than ever before, your community chest needs your support. Give all you can. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, I've never heard of a phony consulate scheme, but it doesn't seem all that far-fetched. I mean, particularly in post-war Cairo, it seems plausible enough. And I think Sam is right that it's the type of thing you could get away with for a while, but eventually you're going to be found out. And I kind of like that philosophical approach to the whole thing. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now, and we have this from Eric. Rocky Jordan is among the most tightly written of the shows you played, and when the writing lags, the setting and propulsive tone paper over any minor flaws. The pace of this episode was plodding at times. The local flavor was largely absent. Sabaya, the best detective, police detective this side of Joe Friday, made tactical moves that were out of character. It's a testament to the writers of Rocky Jordan that an episode, script, and plot that might have been a highlight of other series lands so flat here. As far as continuity, the show A Man Named Jordan was, I believe, basically the same character, only set in Istanbul. And they've been clear that he was in Istanbul before. If we take the show as canon, it was recorded in 1945, and this aired in late 1949. Maybe the originating incident was 4.5 years ago when Jordan had just arrived in Cairo and everyone was just rounding up. Yeah, it's a stretch. I definitely agree with that. Thanks so much for commenting, Eric, and that will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Wednesday, we'll be back with another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meanwhile, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.